God has said, your will be done, not my will. Not my will. Remember I say, I don't want God on my team. I want to be on God's team. And that's where we got to follow God. We want God's answer for all the things, so we need to trust Him. And some days it's harder than others. I know that. But today we need to trust Him. I surrender all.
You ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church. Give him praise this morning. As it is in heaven. I know you're not happy. I know my children. I know my sheep. You know your pastor. You say, what happened? How could it happen this way? Who trusts God? You must trust God today more than you ever thought possible. You're saying, but God, you don't understand. Anybody ever say that to God? You don't understand, Lord. You just can't understand. God is saying, you don't have to worry about what you understand. You just have to trust me. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. Are you all ready to read the word with me? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Your turn. That's right. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I cannot stress to you enough the word therefore, what it means. If you're reading the God's Bible, you better listen, because he's telling us something. He's not a therefore, take up the whole armor. He's telling you what to do. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And take the helmet of salvation as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. That you can read that in the book of Ephesians. That's one of the greatest little chapters you can read about the armor and how you protect yourself. Amen. It's my job today to get you back in the same way as me. Your job today is to get me back on the path. Your job today is to lift my spirit. It's my job is to lift your spirit today and get you to a place when you leave here saying, I got it, Lord. You are my God, and I'm standing with you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo. It says, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are. In the book of Kings. How many prophets did Baal have? Did he have 400? Did he have 425? Or did he have 450 prophets? How many think he had 400 prophets? How many say that he had 425 prophets? How many say that Baal had 450 prophets? I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. How many stones did Elijah use to build his altar? After the king built his altar and Ahab built his altar, Elijah took stones and built his altar. Did he use 12 stones, A? Did he use 8 stones, B? Or did he use 6 stones? How many stones did Elijah use to build the altar? How many think it was 12 stones, A? How many say it was 8 stones? And C, 6 stones? How many think it was 6? Elijah built the altar with the number of tribes of the Israel nation. The number is 12. He used 12 stones to build his altar. Why would he use any other number? How many times did Elijah tell them to pour water on his altar? They had 4 water pots, and he said, fill them. Fill those water pots with water, and I want you to put it all over my altar. Did he tell them to do it twice, A? Did he tell them to do it 3 times, B? Did he tell them to do it 4 times, C? How many times did Elijah say, put water? How many think it was 2 times? How many think it was 3 times? How many think it was 4 times that he told them to build them? Elijah told them to put 12 water pots of water on his altar. Three times. He told them to do it three times. And the third time, the Bible says the water ran over it, filled the hole up and the hole around it, and the water was there. And we're going to find out why. Yeah, and if anybody wants to read this story, you can go to your Bible and look up 1 Kings 18. But for today, we're going to do it together. 1 Kings 18. Morning, John. Thank you, sir. How's Mama? Yeah. Not good today. But you're here with us today, so we'll pray that when you find out, you get better news when you leave here today. God rewarding your faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many people know that God rewards your faith? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, it says this, Jeremiah 14 says, are there any among the idols of the nations that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? He said, are you not he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait for you, since you have made all these things. Who has made the world? Who brings us the rain? Who? Do you believe that? Or do you believe there's something that we do? Because if you believe it's something we do, we need to have a talk. God created all this, and he's the giver of all good things. Can I have an amen? Thank you, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? Whose will? Your will? You're going to talk to God and say, how many want to say, I have a better? Fred, don't you put your hand up. How many say, Lord, I got a better plan if you'll only listen to me? Praise God. Good thing I stopped him, because I saw the hand going up before. How many know that in Proverbs it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? Good, he does it to me every time. That's what you're saying about God today. He's doing it to me. I'm so mad. I'm so afraid. I'm so angry. And he's doing it to me. Trust not on my own understanding. He's doing it again. Then he says in Proverbs this cute little saying, be not wise in your own eyes. I read Facebook, folks. I read some of your Facebook posts. Ye who are not wise in their own eyes, but every answer to every problem in the world, you can find it on Facebook. You don't believe me? Just read to what they're saying. Right? Whew, oh my God. And they believe each other. They become groups of people who believe one thing. That's okay. That's good that you want to be around like-minded. I want to be around like-minded people. Of course I do. But I want to trust God with the big problems. Even if I don't like it or I think I had a better answer, God says, see, God is up there saying, I see the whole picture. I see what you don't see. I know what you don't know, and I know the future. That's what today's all about, to get you back to a place that I feel good and you feel good. Hallelujah. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will, not my will. Hallelujah. And again, in Deuteronomy, Moses is arguing with God. Why can't I go to the promised land? He's saying, how many people have argued with God? Fred, put your hand up now. You're going to raise your hand. How many you argue with God? Now, I want you to pay attention to this, because it's important. There'll be times where God says the same thing you he said with Moses. It's right there. When you read it, it scares you. He said, that's the last time I want to hear that from you. We are not talking about this again. I don't want to hear this subject. You're not getting in, and that's it. I hope you all never get to that place where you push God to his last bit of, what do you call, nerves. You're getting on God's nerves. Don't do that, because we all could pay the price. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you guys. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your fathers have house have, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. This is 1 Kings 18, 17, chapter, verse 17 I'm starting from. I'm not going to read it, I'm going to have fun with it. He said, Ahab said, oh, it's you, Elijah. You troubled God. No, I only did what God told me to do. You're the one that troubled Israel. You're the troublemaker. And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your fathers have. Been. Why? Because you started to follow Baals and not the commandments of the Lord. Then he said, now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal. How many? Yes. Some of you got that. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, today in church, he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. And here's the part that really was upsetting. He says, how long will you between two opinions, God or Baal? And what did the people say? Nothing. How disheartening would that be, first of all? He's saying, you're going to choose between God or the devil, and they stood there staring at him. You understand that? How disheartening that would be for a pastor or for a priest or a minister to look out and see people, and they're not sure who they're going to follow? Hallelujah. How long will you falter? If the Lord is God, follow him. I'm doing it. Anybody joining me today? Then he tells him what to do. He said, oh, first of all, Elijah gets to be a little whiny. He gets whiny here, folks. So if anybody here is whiny, understand that you're no different than Elijah. I don't want to put you in that. I don't want to make you feel better, but it's the truth. If you're a little whiny today, understand so was Elijah. And he said, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. He was wrong. How many say that? He was wrong. God had to straighten him, give one on the side of his head too. I don't want that for you. But he was a little whiny. So he tells him how to build the altar. And he tells him what to do with the altar. And then he says in 25, now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself. Prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So Elijah lets him go first. Amen. What happened this week is somebody else went first. You didn't go first. Can I have an amen? You understand? So Elijah's telling him, you go first. You pick the bull you want. You pick the altar. You do what you want, but don't light it on fire. Okay. So they do all this. This is a great story. Hallelujah. So they took the bull which was given to them and they prepared it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon. Morning till noon they're calling on Baal, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Who answered? Nobody. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made. I'm not going to leap about the altar. I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. Did they get offended by that? No. What did they do? They cried louder. It said that right there. So they cried aloud and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Imagine that. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here. Come here. Come up. Come here. Come here. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Are you ready? And Elijah took 12 stones. How many stones? Ask Marilyn. She got that one right. Took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord. In the name of who? Not in his name, but in the name of who? The Lord. That's what we're doing today. We're building this house in the name of who? We're reading this book in the name of the Lord. We're following the gospel. Therefore, we have to follow God. If we believe God and we love God and we trust that, therefore, we have to follow who? God is always right, and we could be wrong once in a while. Put your hand down, Fred. You're going to have a lot of editing to do over here this time. Maybe you'll leave it in. So he puts the wood in order, and he builds the pieces, lays it on the wood, and fills four water pots with water and pours down the burnt offering and on the wood. They poured it all. So there's a lot of water on there. He said, no, do it again. What? Do it again. So they do it again. They do it twice. And then it said, then they do it a third time. Three times. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trenches with water. Hallelujah. Why would he do that? It's 450 to 1. How many want those odds? I don't want those odds. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's 450 to 1, but he stood because he stood with who? He stood with God. And he tells them to pour the water on the altar, not once, not twice, but three times. Why? Because everybody standing there, everybody would know that if that altar came on fire, who could have done it? God. Only God. Only God. Only God could have lit that. And he stands back, and the people would know it wasn't Elijah. It wasn't some, like my friend Brian said, some card trick. He didn't have a little magic thing underneath there and he lit it and the whole thing lit up. No, it was soaking wet with water all around it so that the people knew it was impossible to light. Only one person could light it. And who's that person? And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. When you're walking with God, brothers and sisters, you're doing things therefore and you're following it, you can look up to God and say, I, just like Elijah, am your servant, Lord, and I am doing these things at your word. It might not be the way I wanted, the way I saw fit, Lord, but I'm doing it your way because I will mess it up. And he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Hallelujah. And the people, when they saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Back to their senses. Today, church, say it with me. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You should be so excited right now. You should be standing up clapping, saying, yeah, Lord, that's it. You won, Lord. You did it. He lit the thing on, and it wasn't lightning. Some people like to say it was a lightning bolt. That's baloney. God sent fire down, lit that baby up. It took more than one little bit of lightning, amen? And he's saying, why does it take people all the time something bad to happen to turn to God? How many know that's true? How many more people turn to God in times of trouble than they do it when things are good? I don't need you right now, God. I got a parking place. I got money in my pocket. I got a chicken sandwich here. I don't need any food. I don't need a park. I don't need a job. I got it. So you're over here, Lord. I'm over here. I got busy. But the second something happened, boom, something happened. Who do you call? Don't you dare say Ghostbusters. Don't you dare say. So in times of trouble, who comes to the rescue? In times of trouble, who do people call on? I'm telling you, I'm going to lift you up today. Hallelujah. Thank you. So three times he tells the people, okay, we got that, to make it look impossible. If things look impossible to man, yet nothing is impossible with who? And whose will be done on earth? So who do you trust? Things look pretty messy. Anybody? I know my brothers and sisters. Things look a little messy. How many are worried today? But Bible said, Jean's not worried. God bless you, Jean. Walter, it must be so hard there. But to be next to her all day, always in faith, reading, watching the Hallmark Channel, just in faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, you're so beautiful. You do make the beautiful couple. I don't want anybody to worry. I want to change your mind. I'm going to change your thought. Because guess who else had to do it? Guess who else was disappointed? I'm disappointed when the Yankees lose, but you all don't worry about me. And the Red Sox lost, so Fred was just, but this is serious stuff. This is where, wait a minute, we've been praying. You said if I pray anything according to your name, thy will be done. And he said, that's right, thy will be done. Mine, not yours. And I want it done on earth, not your way, but his way. So I'm praying. I said, Lord, all my people are praying. We're all together praying. What happened? He said, I answered your prayer. But some of my people say, no, 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 because I had a better plan, Lord. Put your hand down, Fred. Bless his heart. Whew. Praise the Lord. God always has a plan. I got a book right here. 66 books in it. All these things that God has a plan. Every time something happens. Every time something happens, God has a plan. I want that plan in my life. I can only tell you one thing in my life, that this Bible in church changed my life. Going to church that Sunday changed my life. I was playing in bars and I had no money. I was just all sorts of things. I took God to places He didn't want to go. Going to church and reading this book and finding God changed my life. It blessed me in ways that I could have never thought possible. You know, I thought, oh, well, I'm gonna do a little, too. Maybe Greg and I will start playing a little Christian music and we'll go around the churches. Next thing I know, I got this business where I'm singing in nursing homes all over the state. God had a plan. I started a little bit, but God opened up this plan. He's got a plan for you. Amen? And the plan for you is better than the plan you started with. Brother John, that's what I said last week. He's got a plan for what we're doing. I know he does. I just don't know what it is yet, but I'm excited about it because I've seen it before. I've seen that movie before. Amen, Gene? He's got a plan. Does it make you nervous? Yes. I ask you again, do people turn to God in good times or times of need? Times of need, amen. How many feel like you're in a time of need right now? You're looking, you're saying, this is crazy. This is crazy what's going to happen. But I ask you to say His perfect timing. I want His perfect timing. That's the thing. His perfect timing could be right at the edge. How many say that, I, you know, when you feel like there's nothing left, when you feel like you're going to let go of the rope and all of a sudden He's had His hand on you all the time. You see that feeling of like, I didn't fall. We got to get to that place. And you got to get to that place in your life, whatever you're going through. Amen? Because you must be ready right now. How many think that things are going to change? How many think they're going to change for the church? Change for the Word of God? They're going to change for ways that you didn't think you want to change them to. So if you believe that, if you believe that you see things that are against God, if you see things that are against the Word of God, then you need to do something. You need, Miss Vivan, to be ready to serve others. Because if people turn to God in times of need, this church needs to be open. This church's door needs to be open like that. You all need to be ready. Doggy, you need to be ready to welcome. I mean really ready to welcome people. Amen? We must stand fast. Be ready to serve and receive those who will seek Jesus. In times of need, people seek who? Do you think God knows that? I do. Our light must shine brighter. I know you're tired of hearing about our light, but it's true. Your light must shine brighter today because you got to draw these people in who are going to be worried and afraid. We must rise up. Our joy must remain. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. Your joy must be up here today because that's the thing that's going to save the people that you're worried about. Save the nation you're worried about, perhaps. That's it. Your joy is going to do that. That's why you can't have the weak arm. Oh, God, did you see what happened? No, that's not you. You're a servant of God. That's why your knees have to be strong and your arms strong because He's going to bring people here. Then you're going to need to serve them. Our joy, let nothing shake our faith, for this may be the time of a great harvest. You all read that word in the Bible, and I know you pass over to harvest, 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 but this may be the time of a great harvest, because some people might be coming against God in the ways where people finally wake up. I don't care what denomination you go to, you gotta wake up. You want God in your life, you want things in your life, then you got to wake up and come to God. This may be that time where people are going to start coming through that door. You guys talk about God here. You guys believe in the Bible. I need help. I need help because the sand I'm standing on is falling all over the place. I need to stand on the rock. Is the rock here? Yes. Hallelujah. Put your hand down, friend. We may be closer to God than you think. And I say it again, what God and church did for me was life-changing. We have seen churches close down. How many can you say amen? We have seen churches close down. Who would have ever thought that? Someone who knows what church means. This is from my heart. This is not scripture, but this is from my heart. Somebody who knows what church means, who waits for Sunday to be fed, to see other believers, a new family. That was me. When I turned my life to God, I couldn't wait for Sunday. I couldn't wait for Bible study. I couldn't wait to see Pastor Larry, see Pastor Grace. I just couldn't wait. I needed that because I needed that. Someone who knows what church means, who waits for Sunday to be fed to see other believers, that person would never think of closing a church. Never, never, never think of it. If you see somebody and say, well, church isn't essential, we're going to close it down, you know one thing for sure. He's never been in a church family. He's never been in a family where he knows everybody's name. He's never been in a family where the word of God was preached and he had to hear it or else his whole world would fall apart. He would never do that. Nobody would ever say that oh, churches aren't essential, unless they never went to church or they just go to church to show themselves approved. The Bible says we do that. I'm not judging anybody. I'm only telling you what happened in my life. The second I found God, I couldn't wait to get to church because it was that essential for me. And that's what a church is supposed to be, essential to you for your livelihood. Well, you can watch it on TV. No. Or you can watch they got a service on TV. No, that's not the same as being getting up, getting dressed and going there, sacrificing to God, getting your shoes on and getting your hair combed and coming and being with brothers and sisters. That's what it's about. And somebody said, that's not essential. They've never tasted that before. Anybody ever hear somebody say, I don't like lobster? And you say, you don't like lobster? Why? I've never tried it. Okay, well, it's the same thing. You say, I don't know about God. I've never tried it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I got to tell you. Can I tell you? I was watching Don Rickles, and I was laughing. I mean, uncontrollably, I was laughing out loud. Now, he did a roast where he roasted President Reagan and his wife, Nancy. And then he did those Dean Martin roasts. Anybody remember those Dean Martin roasts? There was Sammy Davis Jr. and Nipsey Russell. And there was Jack Benny. And there were all these people. And he was killing them. He's saying all these funny things about their nationality, about their personality, about being Jewish, about being of color. And you know what they were doing? Laughing. 50 years ago, this guy was a comedic genius, and everybody knew anybody. My wife, what was her name? The lady you like with the fashion show, Joan Rivers. What made Joan Rivers so popular? Because she had it. Everybody was ready to get hit, and they knew it, and they wanted to be a part of it. And there is Don Rickles. And I can't even tell you because it's the timing of the joke. But what he was saying, Nipsey Russell and talking to Sammy Davis Jr., beyond being color, he was a Jew. And he had a ball with him. And then it was just funnier and funnier. And then Foster Brooks came on. Anybody remember Foster? The guy didn't, he was like, he made like he was drunk. Nobody was safe. And everybody wanted, oh, I hope he talks about me because that's so funny. It's so funny, and I want them to pick on me because I want to feel important too. What happened? Where are we going with this? Anyway, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you're laughing. I want to lift you up today. I know my family, and you know me. But we need to stand with God. Therefore, we need to walk with God. Therefore, we need to trust God. We need to trust that God sees things bigger than we do. We need to understand that if things are like you think they're going to be, this church better be open and you better be ready. That's why the arms can't be in the knees and you can't be, well, gloom, despair, and agony. I mean, no. No, because you're servants of who? God. And you're part of his family and you're just like Elijah. And I'm serving God. We might be little, but he's saying, no, I got a lot of people praying. God said, I got plenty of people praying all over the world praying. But you, this is your house. This is his house with you. So you got to be ready. Not just someone who goes to church. That's not enough. People go to church for various reasons. It is those who live to be there on Sunday. Unthinkable to have someone say it is not essential. If that's possible, if that one thing is possible, what else is possible? If they stop people from going to church, the one thing that everybody felt that will never happen, happened. Churches are closed because you can't go there. Well, yeah, you're going to get sick. I've been getting sick. People have been getting sick all our lives. Listen, the virus is real. Please, please be careful. Please wear your mask. Please do what you're doing with the social distancing. Please understand, it's real. I don't want anybody to get sick, but people get the flu too. How many know that? People get sick, it's a virus. But I'm telling you that we need, this is so essential. And the people who don't understand that said, oh no, you need to be closed. If you need a bottle of vodka, you can go get it. If you need to go to Walmart's for clean underwear, you can go get it. You want to go to the casino and lose $5,000, you can go do it. Those poor kids, Margie, that work at ShopRite, they've been there all year long. Those poor young fellas and girls, they should be like the walking dead by now. But it's not. How can that be? God has got a hand on that. I believe that. But you see, but you can't go to church. Understand the power of that. Now, my mother was old-fashioned. Anybody have an old-fashioned mother? Later in her life, she would have came to this church because she loved me. But I was over there. My friend over there at that white church, over at the red church, his father was the minister, and his name was Alan, and we were playing in a little band together. And my mother, quote my mother, if I catch you in there, I'm going to pull you out of that church by your hair. Why, Ma? I don't even, she didn't talk about it. Didn't tell me why, but if she caught me in that church, she was going to pull me out of that church by my hair. Okay. Praise the Lord. The harvest is about to be ready. When the harvest, when people are in need and people are afraid and people start telling other people things that they just can't believe, understand that more is coming. That's all. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm not hearing that. But I'm telling you, if one thing happened, something else can happen. Once they know, once the people know that they can stop you from going to God, from making this book be not essential, once they know that they can break us from this book, they win the game. Satan wins the game. The second we start tearing this book apart and judging different things and saying this is that and that's this, so we don't have to believe that, Satan wins. We lose. So that's why today, whatever you're feeling, you're walking with God. Thy will be done, not your will. It may be this that God sees. That is why we must trust him, all of us. He may be bringing to light the darkness. Understand that. It wasn't your will. You didn't know anything about it. But he may have saw a darkness, and he said, if I let this darkness, if I allow this to happen and this darkness to come, then the light's going to shine brighter. People will see the light, and they'll be drawn to the light because everybody's been a little complacent. Everybody's been, oh, everything's good, complaining a little bit and doing a little thing, but they're complacent. Amen. He may be bringing the light to darkness around us, which will bring more people to his light, this church. More people to his light, this church. It may not be the way we want it. Sorry. It may not be the way we see it. Sorry. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Can I have an amen? In 1 Kings 18, God acted. The fire fell. The Lord, hallelujah, the people saw the Lord. They said, the Lord, he is God. That's what they proclaimed when they saw the Lord. The Lord, he is God. The way we should say it today, the way you should say it this morning, the way you should say it everywhere you're at, the Lord, he is God. My Lord is God, and I'm walking with him. Nothing can make me shake me. Nothing can make me shake and make me doubt him. Amen? That's what we should be saying today. His timing, not ours. His ways, not mine. The Lord, he is God. So I'm telling you this morning. Everything that you've missed with all the anxiety and all the things, victory is at hand. Victory, the greatest victories that we want are at hand because we're following God. The darkness may, things may sound crazy, may look crazy, but now the light is going to shine brighter and you all have a job to do. You're all going to be servants of the Lord. So when God brings people, you all need to help me. I can only stand up here, but you can talk to everybody. Say hi to our brother. We haven't seen him in months. We're glad you made it through the storm. Praise the Lord. 12 water pots poured on the altar. Hallelujah. Nobody believed it. So today, I want you to believe. We must be ready. Say that with me, please. We must be ready. We must be strong. We must be faithful. Hallelujah. To receive those in need because the Lord, He is God. Give Him praise. We've forgotten some of the prayers that were answered in our life. I'm sorry, it's true, but you have. You've forgotten prayers that you made that God answered because you moved on. That prayer is done. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I got another one, God. I got another need. As a church, we have a need. So we ask God this morning to light that light. And I ask God to get this church on fire for Him. Get their knees strong, their arms strong, get their faith strong, get their joy up. So people can say, what are you guys doing to find that? Don't you see what's going on in the world? You say, yeah, I don't live in the world. I live with God. You want to come to my house? Because there's a light in my house that'll give you peace. I saw you all laughing this morning. I bet you didn't think you were going to laugh today. I see your joy and I see your smiling. Even Fred, I see it. I bet he didn't think that was going to happen, but it's happening today in God's house. That's the way it's supposed to be because He is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Look at this day in November. November the 8th. Look at out there. 70 degrees. And the colors are amazing. Did anybody do that? No. Who did the colors? Come on. Who did the colors? John took care of the leaves, by the way. Just want you to know. God had a little help with the leaves this morning. But look at what God is blessing us with today. Look at the smiles, the love. That's why we need to be strong. I don't know what Bill and Joanne are today, but I'm going to call them later and talk and say, hey, we miss you. We have a church here, and now that you came for a couple of weeks, we miss you. I want them to know that. Yeah, I want people to come. We talk about it, Missy Bonin, and we all talk about it. But I want people faithful to God. I want to build a house on a rock. And I want people to come that are faithful and come that will grow. But we pray for them. We pray for those that aren't here. Marty and Marge are here today. I'm thankful to God. Hallelujah. God brought them. That's as far as I want to go with that. God brought them to church. They might have fought each other about going. Maybe they woke up, didn't feel like going. But God said, go to church. Praise the Lord.
My wife said I couldn't worship the cats.
No, you can't worship the cat. Yeah. Scares me. That man's... No. Praise the Lord. They want to take away your faith. They want to divide you from the Word of God. I'm not being crazy. They're saying that the Word of God is hateful speech. Talk about Jesus. Hate speech. Simply because they have no idea. When you hear that kind of speech, just raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. They don't know what they're talking about. Because if they think that there's any hate in that book, they've missed it. They missed the part about Jesus saying, you're all welcome. They missed the part about Jesus saying, I will heal you. I will love you. I will accept you. Come to me. I will take your burden. They miss all that. They miss the joy of the Lord, the joy of the church, the joy of the fellowship. They miss all that because they're not reading the book. They're letting somebody else tell them what's in there, and they're running out there with all this misinformation. Amen? But today, your joy is in the Lord because today your faith is in Him. So whenever you turn on the TV later or whatever you hear, just understand, it's just talk. We all do it. But God's got the answer. God is the reason why we're here, so let God be the reason why we continue. The harvest is going to be ready. All the worst things that happen in this world, in this country, will draw people to God. You and me and Art Smith. Somebody will come and say, come to my house. We can stand on our rock together. Hallelujah. Give God praise again, church. Hallelujah. Please give Him praise. Give Him praise this morning. Come on. He was with His apostles in that room. And He took the bread. And He blessed the bread. And He tore the bread. And He said, this is for my body. This is my body. I'm going to be torn for you. I'm going to take this. My body's going to take a whipping for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to do it once for all. And I'm going to do it once for all. And anybody who believes in me, anybody who follows me, shall be saved. I will be them, and they will be with me. And He simply asked the people to do this in His name, in Jesus' name this morning. It's a big one here, Lord. I know. I know me. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities of this week. In particular, this week. We took our eyes off You for a second. We got worried. We got frustrated. We're thinking, Lord, where are You? You say, I'm right here. Psst. I was sitting on the couch with you right now. How come you didn't see me? I was in the kitchen with you making a sandwich. You didn't see me. I'm here. I'm with you. My will be done. Trust me. The harvest is about ready. You'll be ready to receive what I'm about to give you. Forgive us, Lord, for the iniquities of this week. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse our spirit so that we can receive this, the blood of Jesus, for our healing, for the remission of our sins. On that cross, he paid that price. Shed his blood for us. Receive this morning in Jesus' name. Therefore, we need to be strong. Therefore, we need to be united. Therefore, we need to stay on the Word of God, focused on the Word of God, trusting in the Word of God, in love with the Lord, in love with this body, in love with this church, in love with our home. The harvest will be ready. We need to be ready to receive it. You need to be strong to receive it. You better be strong in faith. No doubting, no wavering. No misleading people. Nothing except God and the Bible. Our healing is God and the Bible. The healing of this nation is God and the Bible. The world may not see it. You may think the people don't see it, but it doesn't matter what they see. It's a matter of what God sees, and we're praying to that God. Whatever he's allowed to happen, he said, it's my will, not yours. So we need to be ready to serve him every way possible in this church. The harvest is coming. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us and for your word to keep us strong. Thank you for the joy of your word, Lord, and the peace that surpasses even our understanding as it does today, Lord. And I pray that they feel so much different right now than they did before, and they see it in a different way today, and that they understand it as they leave here, that we're walking with you and you're walking right alongside us, and we got to do your work. Whatever you send to us, Lord, we need to be ready. That's what we need to know. Whatever you do in our lives, we need to be ready to share it, to tell others about it. Keep that rock right here. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him all kinds of praise this morning. We have a Bible study Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Hope that you all can attend. If you want to come, it's a 7 o'clock Bible study. We have a wonderful time. We have a lot of fun. We share the Word of God. We read the Word of God. But we kind of describe and explain certain things, kind of where your eyes get opened up and you want to learn more. How many know that's the key to the Bible, that you want to learn more? It's not that you know what's in the Bible or not that you read a little bit, but the key to going to Bible study is that you want to learn more. The key to coming to church on Sunday is hearing a message and leaving saying, I want to know more. You see, that's the key. Not how good the sermon is or how funny it is or how eloquently it's spoken. It's when you leave, do you want to know more about what he spoke about? Do you feel closer to God than you did when he walked in? That's what church is about. That's what the Word of God is about. Anytime you read it, I pray today that you feel closer to God. No matter if you read one page or 20 pages, that you feel closer to God. You feel closer to God, not me, you. And God can talk to you because he talks to me. He wants to talk to you, and he does it through that word. I pray that you see that today, and I pray that your joy is full on this beautiful day. Hallelujah. We're going to ask you to stand. Any other announcements? Dave, Marilyn, Chuck, Fred, any announcements? Yvonne's got an announcement. Everybody say hi to Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne. Today's my dad's 81st birthday.
Praise the Lord.
I got to speak with him before everyone in the nursing home. So, he's got dementia, so
he heard your voice and you heard his voice. 81 years old in a nursing home in Puerto Rico. Do you know it's just a blessing? Just enjoy the blessing of the words. Enjoy that, because that was a gift for you as much as it was for him. It truly was.
Let me know.
You want to go tomorrow? No, you're not going there. All right, hallelujah. Well, you know, and thank you for sharing that. Her father just, daddy turned 81, and he lives in Puerto Rico in a nursing home, and she spoke to him this morning. She's not sure how much he accepted, you know, with his mind, but she spoke to him. She heard his voice, and he heard her voice this morning. What a blessing. I know I wish I could do that with my daddy for 30 seconds.
A family and God, we all have to lift each other up and be strong. So, Lord, we ask you to take this offering, this beautiful tithing that they give to this church in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So you might have been disappointed. You might have been confused. But now you know it's His will, not yours. And maybe you believe that the harvest is coming. People search for God in times of need. They don't seem to search for Him in times of goodness. They thank God for that, but they don't search more. But now we're in a time of need where you're thinking, boy, we really need you. So this is your time. This church, I'm looking out and I'm seeing the numbers of people, and my heart is just, I'm just blown away. I'm humbled by what I see. And I know that there's more people that are coming. And I know we need to be ready for when they come to receive them, to show them the Word of God, to show them people on fire for God. That will change their life like it changed my life. And I pray it changed your life every week. I pray that you want more from God. And I pray that you receive that and understand that God is good all the time. So if you put your trust in Him, nothing you see on TV can shake your faith. When you put your trust in Him, nothing you hear from those people can shake your faith, because you're standing with God, the Creator of all things. And you're with He who is greater in you than anything in this world. Nothing formed against you shall prosper, which means nothing formed against God's Word will ever prosper. Therefore, stand on God's Word, because He is our God. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Now let's ask God, if you would, you want to do the flag, let's ask God again to bless the United States of America, and believe that He is blessing us, and believe that we need to be ready because the harvest is coming. Hallelujah.